Hello, this is Dean Soto, and first off, thank you so much for purchasing this audio. It is an absolute pleasure of mine to be able to produce it for you because it's something that's near and dear to my heart, and that is Catholic businesses. Just being an entrepreneur as a Catholic, what business is in the church's eyes, and what we can do as Catholics to kind of bring our spirituality, our faith, our morality, as well as our philosophy into the realm of business. And one of the great things about this is that we're really going to be in this audio, as well as if you choose to live it out, really going to be part of a revolution that is going to eventually sweep the nation, because it has to. Business, art, and philosophy are all are three things that we are really, really lacking as Catholics in general. And so when we learn how to bring things that how to produce things of extreme value, which is what a business person does, and when we learn how to make things that are extremely beautiful, like we used to make when in the golden age of our era, when we had beauty, when we had art, music, and so on, when we could make those things, we were able to win the hearts and minds of the entire world. And then when we have right thinking, right reasoning, right philosophy, we're able to bring the beauty as well, even more, because it's in the constraints of a moral framework, and which allows us to ultimately practice our theology, which is God reaching out to us and us saying yes to the gift that He has given us. So in this audio, we're going to be talking about a couple of things. First, we're going to talk about the Catholic philosophy on business and what we as Catholics can proudly and emphatically declare about business, and why it's a good thing to be an entrepreneur, why it's a good thing to be working in general. The next thing we'll be talking about things like, what is business? What is business in general? What is selling? What is a Catholic business? And lastly, how can I bring my faith into my business and put into action as well? So the first thing I wanted to do is we're going to talk about the Catholic philosophy on business. Now, when Catholics first hear about businesses, when Catholics first think about business in general, they feel one of two things. One, they feel as though if I'm going to go into business, it is going to be a Catholic business. It is going to be a Catholic bookstore. It is going to be a Catholic audio store. It is going to be a Catholic something. And there's a good reason for that, because as Catholics, as devout Catholics, we love the church. We love what we do. We love those things so tremendously that we want to share it with other people, that we want to spread it out as far and wide as we possibly can. Now, the problem with that is that while it's good in and of itself, if we're doing it in a means to either generate revenue or if we're doing it in a means to evangelize, both, it makes it really hard for both of those things. And we'll talk about why that is later, but you're just going to have to trust me on that until we talk about it. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, Catholics feel as though if I am not starting a Catholic business, if I am just doing something like, say a web development company, or if I'm doing something like creating a piece of software, or if I'm doing something like creating a product that people can use, or maybe like it's a limousine business or whatever, that somehow, some way, there's something wrong with that. That there's something wrong with having a quote-unquote secular business. That there's something dirty about that. Of course, that's not true, But that's the first thing that we feel. And don't get me wrong, that's what I feel too. I feel that too. And mainly, one, I would argue that it's probably someone telling us not to do that, because if we did do that, he knows what's going to happen, that it's going to be something really, really good is going to happen. And we'll go into that later. And two, it's the sense that that we have, especially as Americans, even though America is very pro-business, we have this view of corporations and businesses being greedy and so on. Turn that down. Sorry about that. Greedy and so on. And so when we have that type of feeling, when we see that as a business, it is seeing a business like that, it is crucial that we don't view it that way. In fact, it's quite the opposite of how we should view it. So let's kind of go into what the Catholic view of work and the Catholic view of business is. The biggest and the most influential document that you will find from the church is an encyclical called, in the Latin, it's called Laborum Exercens. And that means on human work. Let's see. And what I want to do is I want to just show you, this is written by our Holy Father, Pope John Paul, the late great Pope John Paul, who will be canonized, I'm sure, very shortly. And I just want to read you the introduction to this. It says, "Through work, man must earn his daily bread and contribute to the continual advance of science and technology, and, above all, to elevating unceasingly the cultural and moral level of society within which he lives in community with those who belong to the same family. And work means any activity by man, whether manual or intellectual, whatever its nature or circumstance, it means any human activity that can and must be recognized as work. In the midst of all of the many activities of which man is capable and to which he is predisposed by his very nature, by virtue of humanity himself, man is to be in the visible universe an image and likeness of God himself, and he is placed in it in order to subdue the earth. From the beginning, therefore, he is called to work. Work is one of the characteristics that distinguishes man from the rest of the creatures, whose activity for sustaining their lives cannot be called work. Only man is capable of work, and only man works, at the same time, by work occupying his existence on earth. Thus, work bears a particular mark of man and of humanity, the mark of a person operating within a community of persons, and this mark decides its interior characteristics. In a sense, it constitutes its very nature." So work is what constitutes man's very nature. It is something that the animals cannot do. It is something that makes us who we are. It is something that gives us purpose. It is something that brings us closer to God. And work can mean business and does mean owning a business, does mean doing something in a business. So when you are working, whether you are working inside your own business or on your own business, or you're working in a corporation, you are still working in a business. Now, that is not bad. That is not bad. From this very paragraph alone, in and of itself, it is not bad. Now, if you were working for, say, Planned Parenthood, then obviously you would be doing something bad. If you're working for something that condones and has the and wants to fulfill the culture of the of abortion and death and so on, then you are obviously doing something that is wrong. You are working on something that is wrong. But as Pope John Paul says, we need to be, quote, elevating unceasingly the cultural and moral level of society within which he lives in a community with those who belong to the same family. By owning a righteous business, by working in a company that is morally righteous and is bringing the gospel of life, bringing something good, something that is advancing, the human race, as well as bringing them closer to God, then you are working on something that is good. You are working on something that is meaningful, that God finds pleasing, ultimately. And so when we have this view of business, that it's something bad, that unless it has Catholic before it, like Catholic roller skating rink or Catholic ice cream or Catholic whatever, Catholic bookstore and so on, that unless we open something like that, like we're working on something like that, that we are doing something bad, that sort of mindset is honestly wrong. That is something that is honestly wrong. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. We are called to indirectly and directly, when it's the right thing to do, indirectly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to indirectly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? We do that by doing ordinary things extraordinarily. So when we are sweeping our house, we do not tell people, oh, I'm just doing some Catholic sweeping of my house. When we are walking down the street, I'm just doing some Catholic walking down the street. When we are working at our job and in our cubicle, you don't say, right now, boss, I'm going to be doing some Catholic spreadsheets. So if you can just leave me alone for the next hour, I'm going to be praying the rosary and doing some Catholic spreadsheets. And I'll have your reports, your TPS reports in the morning. We don't do that. We don't do that because it doesn't make sense. And likewise, it doesn't make sense. Now, I'm not advocating, don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating at all that we should not open Catholic bookstores, that we shouldn't open stores like that. But for the most part, 99% of the time, we want to be indirect. Lord of the Rings was indirect. Even C.S. Lewis's book, even though it's an allegory, The Chronicles of Narnia, was indirect. Walker Percy is indirect. A lot of great authors are indirect, and you don't, unless you are, they have a profound effect on the culture, on those who read it, and bring people who do read those and who do participate in those indirect things closer to Christ, whether they like it or not. Even someone like G.K. Chesterton was indirect quite a few times because it is powerful to those people who can't take Christ directly because they have so many blocks up. So when we're talking about business, when we are from here on out, when we talk about business, anytime I talk about selling, anytime I talk about opening up an ice cream shop, anytime I talk about opening up your web development company, anytime I talk about being an SEO expert or whatever, you will be a Catholic, one of those, but you will be doing it indirectly, and you will show it by your actions. You can show it by where you give your profits to in donating. You can show it by using it as a means to give yourself more time to support your church, to support what you feel is good, and to support what your church needs. This is the way it was for thousands of years as Catholics. It wasn't until really after the Reformation that we started separating our Catholic faith from everything that we do. Before, it was ingrained in everything. You look at Mozart, you look at Beethoven, you look at Bach, Schubert. They wrote beautiful, wonderful music that was inspired by Christ. Some of it was direct, some of it was indirect. But the fact of the matter is, they were doing it because that was the norm. That was who they were. It wasn't because they said that, you know, I'm going to write this Catholic piece. No, it's just who they were, and it came out that way. They never put in the front of any of their music, Catholic concerto, Catholic this, Catholic that. And yeah, they had mass parts. They had the mass, you know, mass in B minor, mass in G, and so on. But ultimately, a lot of the stuff that they wrote, even though it was indirect, it was still had holy attributes to it. So when we talk about business from now on, when we talk about all those things, it is not a bad word. It is not something that is going to hurt the kingdom. In fact, it is something that is going to help the kingdom, as we learn from Pope John Paul II on his encyclical on human work. All right, so what is business? What is business? A lot of this stuff I'm going to be paraphrasing because I want it to be as common as possible. What is a business? Ultimately, paring it down, a business is where you have a service or you are creating a product that is of more value, that is of more value than what the person is paying you. It is of more value than what the person is paying you. So, for example, if you are building a website for someone, if you own a web development company, you are going to be giving them way more than they are giving you in money. Even if they paid you $10,000 for a single website, the purpose behind them paying you that is because they want to have a return on their investment of more than $10,000. So when I want an e-commerce website and I pay someone $10,000 for it, my hope is that I'm making hundreds of thousands of dollars off of that one website. If I pay someone $50,000, I want to make $100,000. If I pay someone $100,000, I want to make $1 million off of that website or off of that service or off of that product. Why do you buy $90 liturgy of the hour books? Because you feel that it is going to bring you closer to Christ, which is of infinite value. You feel as though it is going to make you holier, give you more peace, and so on. You don't buy the product. $90 is expensive, but only relative to what you are getting out of it. Think of the books that you buy. Why do you buy the latest Peter Kraft philosophy book or Catholic philosophy book or whatever he's writing for $20? Do you really believe that what he has in that book is worth $20? No, absolutely not. It is worth way more than that. If it helps you to understand more about Christ, if it helps you to understand more about life in general and to live a fruitful and thriving life, then it is of insurmountable value. So that $20 is really nothing, because you believe and you feel as though it is worth something. So owning a business and having a business, when you're doing that, you are providing for the betterment. You are making someone or some organization better than they are now, even if they are paying you $100,000, which think about where you're working right now. If you are working, and you're making $40,000, $40,000 is a lot of money. If you ask someone on the street, "Hey, give me $40,000," yeah, right. That's not going to happen. It's a lot of money, but relative to what? the person who hired you for $40,000 expects that you are going to deliver something while you're working for them. You're going to deliver something of more value. That way they can hire you the next year. They can raise your rates. They can do all that stuff and keep it going and so on and so on. You are making that organization better. You are making that organization much more well off. And so when you have that view in your mind, when you start seeing that, hey, owning a business isn't bad because I am improving the lives of everyone that I interface with. I am improving the organization. I am improving that person. I am helping them to reach their goals. And especially if they are righteous, obviously, you don't want to be improving the goals of someone of an organization that is not. Especially if they are doing the right things and they are a holy organization and so on. That is something that is ultimately good. Whether they pay me $200,000, $1 million a year, whatever, as long as I provide that value back or more, I am doing them an awesome service. And I'm really living the gospel when I do that, because part of being in the gospel is living life and living life to the fullest, living life abundantly, overflowingly. And you are helping them to do that. Of course, there are problems that come up, such as greed, you know, avarice. There are things where money can complicate things. But you look at saints like Thomas More, who was a lawyer, a philosopher, and so on, and a judge, and he was able to, even though he had a very high prominent position, he was able to not let all that turn him into something that was ugly and evil. In fact, it helped him to become more of a saint by having that and being able to give it away and being able to better himself through the stuff that he had. So business is not bad. You are helping others to get to where they want to be and where they need to be. All right, so one of the biggest things is, how do I bring, even though I know now that that being in business isn't bad in and of itself, how do I bring my faith into my business? Well, ultimately, the way that you're going to go about doing that, the way that we're called to do that, as I had mentioned before, is indirectly. It is an indirect method. We bring our spirituality in how we act and who we are much more than directly saying, hey, I'm Catholic, look at me, and you need to convert, you need to do this, you need to do that. That time will come, don't get me wrong, that time will come. But when people see how you act, see how you are, and so on, then their heart starts softening. Same thing goes with business. So for example, you can own a business in which all you do is make money, 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 and you hoard it all to yourself and you keep it to yourself and you self-promote. That's, and you just do all self-promotion and do nothing for the community, nothing to help others, nothing to really push the advancement of people who are less fortunate or people who are even above you in your business or whatever. The way that you bring your faith into your business, yeah, you can have certain things that make you specifically Christian or Catholic. Look at In-N-Out. One of the things that they do directly, sort of, is if you're on the West Coast and you go to In-N-Out Burger, if you look underneath the cups that they have, you will see a Bible verse. It's hidden, but you can tell through the quality of their food, through how they treat their workers, how they treat their customers, and so on, that there's something different. There's something different about that business. That there's something that a greedy business just does not have. Yes, they have Bible verses underneath their cups, but there's something more behind it. There's something more that is in the very ethos, the very culture of that particular business. And that's the way that you want it to be. Because people are more attracted to things that are beautiful, things that are good, things that are of quality, than people who just say they are. I mean, when you see a person who says, "I am the most humble person ever." Yeah. do you say, "Well, they just said they were the most humble person ever, so they must be the most humble person ever"? No, of course not. As soon as they say that they're humble, then they're obviously not. Almost the same thing happens when you say Catholic bookstore. In my mind, at least, I think of really, 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 I don't want to say fanatical because I'm fanatical too, but just people who don't live in the real world. That sounds really bad. Don't get me wrong, most Catholic people who own Catholic bookstores aren't that way, but it's just the connotation that you get. But when you find an awesome Catholic businessman or woman who treats their employees incredibly well, appreciates them, shares in profits, shares, say, movie tickets because their team did amazing. When you see that, that is much more impactful than someone who says from the onset, "Yeah, I'm Catholic. By the way, I'm Catholic. Oh, here, you know, I'm a Catholic manager. I'm this and that." You want to have that Catholic ethos, that culture inside you at all times and inside your business at all times. If you have it, you own a business and you are doing something to make someone else's lives better, your business will thrive and you will spread the kingdom, whether you like it or not. It's just what's going to happen. So we've gone through a lot already, just in the overview of business itself from a Catholic point of view. From here on out, we are going to talk specifically about ways to take action with your business and to start a business if you have not done so. Now that you have the idea that business is not bad, business is always, at least in its true form, business is helping others to get to where they need to be. Now, you need to be able to sell. You need to be able to convince. That's what you're doing. But we will talk about that in the next section, in which we go through a lot of the practical advice.